I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So good to see all of you in the house of the Lord. Welcome back to those who have traveled. So good to see you back. And then again, I want to remind all of us, you see how time flies. We are already at the end of January. First month of the year 2016 is gone. Yes, 11 months left for the year. How well are we going to serve the Lord in this year, 2016? 11 months for us to do the service that the Lord wants us to do. So let us give Him our very, very best for the rest of the year, 2016. Will we make that commitment to tell the Lord, Lord, here am I, send me. Now let us be very, very willing to give Him our very best. Now this morning, my subject is able to and must love. As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we must be able to love, yes, and we must be able to show that love. Love and really show that love. Now, some time ago, there was this man who went to join a church. He was in his 30s or so, and he joined the church. He was a very meek-looking person, friendly, very humble-looking, very soft-spoken, and very polite, and he was very, very hospitable. He, in actual fact, opened up his home for various kinds of fellowships in the church. And then he warmed himself up with the leaders in the church, and he even invited the leaders in the church to stay in his home overseas whenever the leaders from the church went to the part of the world where his overseas home was. Then he was growing in stature in the church, and when the time of election came around, he was actually proposed to be elected. Then he showed forth his true colors. You see, he was circulating information, teachings that were contrary to the teachings in the Word of God. Yes, and that was what he was doing. And so the leaders had to try to stop him, but he refused to stop and he continued. And finally, the leaders in the church had no choice but to make a public announcement concerning his wrongful act. Now, he was very angry, so angry that he took the leaders of the church to task. He took them to court and he sued them for defamation for a hefty sum of money. Now, I won't tell you the conclusion of this case because that is not the focus of my message. Yes, what I want to tell you is that if he was a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, he had no business to take fellow members to court, let alone the leaders in the church. He should not be taking them to court because the Word of God definitely does not allow us to take fellow Christians to court. But he did it. Yes. Now, if people are truly converted, true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, if they were enemies, if they were converted, they would become friends. They would know how to love one another because they are true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Christianity is not easy believism. Christianity is not paying lip service. Christianity is not about going to a church and then signing a decision card at a gospel meeting and then declare, I'm now a Christian. No, my dear friends, the person who has made a commitment for the Lord Jesus Christ is born again. He's a new creature in Christ. If there is no change in his life, yes, he continues with his old sinful habits, and if he continues to hate as he used to hate, his salvation is questionable. Yes, it is questionable whether he is a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ or not. Now, if a person is genuinely converted, he actually goes into a new condition, a condition in which he is able to love with genuine love. Yeah, he must have entered into that condition, the condition in which he is able to love with genuine love. And what is this condition? Now, Peter tells us this condition in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Yes, First Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Peter says, seeing you have purified your souls. You see, that's the condition that we believers have entered into. The soul has been purified. Yes, that's the condition that we have gone into. The soul has been purified. And because the person has been purified, the believer has been purified, he is able to love. You see, his sins have been washed away. He's able to love. Able to love, not just love, but love with genuine love. I've got 3 points this morning. Number one, what conditions the soul is in that enable him to love? And number two, what is this love? And number three, why must we love? So first of all, what conditions the soul has entered into that enable him to love? Now let's look at the first condition the soul has entered into which enables him to love. The condition the converted soul has entered into is that he has been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we learned this through some two or three messages ago in 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 18 and 19. Yes, this is the first condition. He has been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. 18 and 19. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, in other words, not redeemed with perishable things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, you have been redeemed with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. My dear friends, as believers, we have been redeemed by his precious blood when we came to trust in him as Lord and Savior. His death shed for us from the cross of Calvary has set us free from the power of sin. And if it has set us from the power of sin, as if it has set us from sin, then we should be able to love. And to love with genuine love, because we have been purified. So when the devil comes and tempts us, we are not powerless to resist him. You see, we have been set free from sin by his precious blood. We must always, always remember that truth. The Lord, when he says to us, sin no more, actually he has given us a command, sin no more. Now when the Lord gives us a command, he will always give us the ability and the strength to obey that command. He doesn't just give us a command and doesn't give us anything to enable us to obey. No, friends, he gives us strength and ability to obey his command. So if we have been redeemed by his precious blood and have experienced the cleansing power of his precious blood, we must necessarily be able to resist the devil. Every sin in us has got to go by under the cleansing flow of his precious blood, including, of course, the sin of hatred. It must go, friends, under the cleansing flow of his precious blood. So what it means is, if we choose not to hate, we are able not to hate. If we choose to love, we are able to love. That's what it means. Now you look at the next condition our soul is in that enables us to love with genuine love after we are converted. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 again, and we will read a little further. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth. Purified your souls in obeying the truth. How are we able to love? My dear friends, we are able to love because we are in this condition in which the soul has been purified in obeying the truth. Purified in obeying the truth. And what is this truth we are talking about? This truth is the truth of God. And what is the truth of God? The truth of God is the word of God. Jesus said so in John chapter 17, verse 17. He says, sanctify them through thy truth. He was praying for his disciples, praying for us. He says, sanctify them through thy truth. In other words, purify them with thy truth. Thy word is truth. So when we are talking about obeying the truth, we are talking about obeying God's word. Yes, God's word has the power to sanctify. It has the power to cleanse. It has the power to purify. It has the power to make us holy. When we obey God's word, we are purified. And when we are purified, then of course we will be able to love. So you see the connection, God's word, we obey God's word, and when we obey God's word, we are purified, and then we are able to love. Now consider a man who hears God's Ten Commandments. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Thou shalt not bow down to them, nor serve them. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Thou remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. And the man obeys these commandments. My dear friends, when he obeys these commandments, will not these commandments purify him? Think about it. My dear friends, when he obeys these commandments will surely purify him. In effect, my dear friends, when he obeys these commandments of God, he is showing forth faith that is unfeigned, love that is true, love that is not pretended, love that is genuine when he obeys his laws. Because you look at the laws of God are actually the laws of love. The first part of the Ten Commandments refers to love for God. Yes, love for God. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second part of the Ten Commandments is love thy neighbor as thyself. So you see, when we obey the second part of God's Ten Commandments, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. My dear friends, will we not be showing love? Yes, of course, we'll be showing love. Yes, so when we obey God's love, commandments, we are purified, and then we are really showing forth real love. Genuine love. Yes, because we are obeying God's commandments to love. But if a man only hears God's truth, but he doesn't do God's truth, my dear friends, God's truth really will have no effect on him. He hears, but he doesn't act on the truth. The truth will have no effect on him. That's why the Apostle Peter says, seeing you have purified your souls in what? In obeying the truth. In other words, we must take action to obey the truth. If we don't obey, we are not purified. And if we are not purified, it is impossible for us to love. And you take, for example, the seventh commandment. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Now can a husband or a man really love his wife if he breaks this commandment? Thou shalt not commit adultery. He's guilty of adultery. And he says, wife, I love you. My dear friends, his love is not real because he has committed adultery. He has been unfaithful. So my dear friends, yes, if a person truly obeys God's word, he will be purified. And if he's purified, then he will surely be able to show love that is genuine. Now I'd like us to look at the next condition the soul is in that enables the person to love with genuine love. The next condition that he is in, that he is in, is that he is purified. He is purified through the Holy Spirit. Now you look at verse 22 again. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Holy Spirit unto unfeigned love. Yes, that's the next condition that he's in. Yes, he's in a condition in which he is being purified by God's mighty Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the purifying agent. Now, when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in us. Without him, we will never be purified. Did you realize that the Holy Spirit must come into us for us to be purified? Before the Lord ascended up to heaven, he made this promise to his disciples, and he makes this promise to us. John 16, verse 7 and verse 8, he says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient. In other words, it is fit. It is profitable for you or advantageous for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you, and when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. When he comes, he will reprove the world of sin. In other words, when he comes, he will convict or he will convince the world of sin. The Holy Spirit reproves us. The Holy Spirit convicts us of our sins. Now, God's word means nothing to us. Yes, it really means nothing to us until the day the Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin through the word. Until that happens, my dear friends, until he works in us to convict us through his word, God's word means nothing to us. His Holy Spirit must convict us, and he convicts us when we come to believe in him as Lord and Savior. And daily, as we live our Christian life, it is the Holy Spirit who brings to remembrance the Word of God, that so that we will be able to discern what is right and what is wrong. Yes, the Holy Spirit brings to remembrance the Word of God, so that we may be able to discern what is right and what is wrong. He is the one who teaches us his truth. He is the one who guides us unto all truth. By his convicting us, by his teaching us, by his guiding us, we are purified and we are kept pure. And when we sin, what happens? When we sin, he convicts us of our sin, and he moves us to come to the foot of the cross to ask the Lord Jesus Christ to cleanse us of our sins, all our sins, by his precious blood. And when we fail to love, he convicts us of our failure. He convicts us of our sin of lack of love, so that we will repent and then show forth love after our repentance. Now, not only does he convict us of our sin, but the Holy Spirit also gives us the grace to love. He is the one who fills us with the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, he fills us with the fruit of love, because the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and so forth. It is the Holy Spirit who sheds abroad the love of God in our hearts. Now, what it means is, it is the Holy Spirit who pours out his love, the love of God, into our hearts. Romans 5:5. I read for you the verse. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. The love of God is poured out into our hearts, so that we will be able to love. Poured out into our hearts by whom? By the Holy Ghost. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So the Holy Spirit works. He pours out the love of God into our hearts to enable us to love. So, can we say that we have no power to love? Can we? We can't. Our soul has been purified by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our soul has been purified by God's word through our obedience of God's word. Our soul has been purified by the power of God's mighty Holy Spirit, by his sanctifying power. How then can we not love? My dear friends, we must be able to love because we have the power to love. So we must be able to love. Now, we must be able to love because we are also new creatures. Verse 23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God. We are born again not by perishable seed. Corruptible seed means perishable seed. We are born again not of perishable seed, but of incorruptible seed, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. We are born again. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. All habits, all feelings. The sinful nature with the sin of hatred, my dear friends, all have to go. The sinful nature with the sin of hatred has been crucified with the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, that is the power of the gospel. It transforms us so that we will be able to love with genuine love. So, my dear friends, there is no reason why we are not able to love. We have the power to love. And so, my dear friends, we must love. Now, we are to love with unfeigned love. Now, what is this love? What is this unfeigned love? First, unfeigned love is something that is practical. Genuine love. Unfeigned means genuine. Unfeigned love is practical. It is not something that is theoretical. Now, if a brother is in need of physical help, if he is in need of food, if he is in need of clothing, he comes to you for help. And you tell him, oh, just be filled, okay? And keep yourself very warm. I'll pray for you. And then you send him away. When it is well within your means to help him, but you withhold your help. My dear friends, that's not love. God's word definitely says it is not love. It is faith without works. that love is simply lip service, yes, and nothing more. One day, the great preacher D.L. Moody was traveling in a train with this gospel musician, this beloved gospel musician by the name of D.B. Towner. They were traveling in this train, and then this train came to this small town. And then a young man boarded the train. Now it was very, very obvious that this young man had gotten into a fight before he boarded the train, because he was bruised all over and he was bleeding. And when he saw this D.L. Moody, he recognized him, and he wanted to disturb D.L. Moody. And so what he did was he sang very mockingly some gospel songs just to irritate D.L. Moody. And D.L. Moody was very irritated, so irritated that he called the conductor to send him away, to bring him away. Now, this conductor was very kind. He spoke very softly to this young man, dressed his wounds, and then put him in a very, very comfortable state. Now, the next day, D.R. Moody heard what the conductor had done for this man, and he felt very, very rebuked by the love that was shown by this man, by this conductor. And he said to D.B. Towner, the gospel musician, he said, "How could I be so insensitive? Just before, the night before, I was preaching on the story of the Good Samaritan. And last night, I was behaving like the Levite and the priest." Yes. Now, those of you who are not familiar with the story of the Good Samaritan, let me just narrate that story to you. There was this Jew who was traveling from the city of Jerusalem down to the city of Jericho. On the way, he was waylaid, he was robbed, beaten, and left half dead on the ground. Then along came a religious Jew, a priest. Now remember, this fellow who was injured was a Jew, an injured Jew. So this very holy Jew, the priest, came by. He saw this injured Jew, and what did he do? He just ignored him. Next came a Levite, also a religious Jew. He saw this injured person, and again he ignored him. Now next came the Samaritan. Now, you know, the Samaritan and the Jews in those days had no dealings. In fact, the animosity between them was very, very great. They treated one another like enemies. But this Samaritan stopped, and he took pity on this injured Jew. He dressed his wounds, poured oil on his wounds, and then put him on the back of his donkey, brought him to the motel, and paid his motel bills for him. That was the kind of love this Samaritan showed to this injured Jew. And that was the love D.L. Moody said he was lacking that night. He was behaving like the priest and the Levite. Friends, I want to ask all of us here, is our love, if we say that we show love, is our love practical or is our love theoretical? My dear friends, our love cannot be theoretical. If it's theoretical, it is not true love. Our love must be practical. Now, genuine love is the type that is shown not for the purpose of pleasing men. Sometimes we show love to others because we know that people are watching us. Isn't it true? Yes, we appear to be showing love because we know people are watching us. So we try our best to show love. My dear friends, that's not true love. I know that in some churches, members appear to be loving one another when the pastor is around. Now they show love to one another because they have a great deal of respect for the pastor. So when the pastor is around, when the pastor is looking at them, they say, "Pastor is looking at us." You know? So they show love to one another. But when the pastor is not around, when the pastor is on a break or on leave, then the members of the church show their true colors. Squabbles will arise among members of the church. Friends, our love must be true. Our love must be shown not to please the eyes of men, but our love must be shown to please the eyes of the one true living God. Now you will recall the case of Joseph and his 10 brothers. Remember them? Yes, all their families by now had settled peacefully in the land of Egypt. Yes, the brothers and their families possibly were in the land of Egypt maybe for 17, 20 years or so. But Joseph and his family were there for a longer period. Now, Joseph had by now been a prime minister for quite some time, maybe more than 20 years. Yes, more than 20 years. Yes, he was surely more than 20 years a prime minister of Egypt. Now, his father, Jacob, was very, very gladdened when he heard news that this long-lost son of his was alive. He thought that Joseph was dead because of the bad news brought to him by his brothers, who told him that Joseph had been killed by wild animals, when in fact they had sold him into slavery into the land of Egypt. Now, and Joseph showed kindness to his brothers and to their families, and invited them to the land of Egypt to live. Yes, he had actually saved them during the time of the 7 years of famine in that region of the world. Yes, he saved them and he brought them to the land of Egypt. Now Joseph's father, Jacob, lived for another 17 years in the land of Egypt, and then he died. Now when he passed away, all his brothers, Joseph's brothers, thought that now that father is no longer around, Joseph is surely going to take revenge against us. And so they came before him to beg for mercy. Yes, they had actually underrated the love of Joseph. His love was genuine. Now you will recall that earlier when Joseph appeared unrecognized to his 10 brothers when they came to the land of Egypt to buy corn during the time of famine. Yes, he actually was very, very waiting to see whether they had truly repented or not. Yes, and when he discovered that they truly had repented, you know, his heart went out for them, went out to them. He wept, and then he revealed himself to them. He truly loved them. That's why he wept. Now that the father had passed away, the brothers were very, very concerned that Joseph would now want to take revenge against them. And so they came before him to ask for forgiveness. But Joseph, when he saw the brothers begging for forgiveness, he wept because he genuinely loved them. Yes, he genuinely had forgiven them. And so we read this in Genesis chapter 50, verses 19 to 21. Let me read for you. And Joseph said unto them, "Fear not," he told his brothers, "fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones, and become," and he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. Yes, he said, "I will nourish you and your little ones, be comforted." Yes, he spoke very kindly to them. There was absolutely no hatred in him, but practical love and kindness. Whether father was around or not, it didn't matter, because as far as Joseph was concerned, he was showing love not for anybody's sake, but for the sake of the one true living God. His love was genuine. My dear friends, that's the kind of love that we must show. Whether people are looking at us or not, it does not matter. We must show love because we love the Lord. That's why we show love. Yes, we love the Lord and we show our love for the one true living God by our love for our fellow man. Now, genuine love is shown not for a time and then it is gone. No, my dear friends, this love is love that lasts forever. It is not love that is inconsistent, blowing hot one day and blowing cold on another day. Now, what do you think of a father who, when he is in a very, very good mood, will hug his son and then will play with his son? But when he is in a foul mood, he will ignore his son and he will take it out on the son. Now, what kind of love is that? Is that genuine love? Hard to say that it is genuine love. And surely we might have come across such people, maybe not in this church, but in other churches, you know, where there are people who appear to be very, very loving and warm on one day, but on another day, when you meet that same person walks past you as if you are invisible. He doesn't even bother to say hello to you. That kind of love, my dear friends, blows hot and cold. Can you say that that kind of love is genuine? Very hard, my dear friends, very hard to say that that kind of love is genuine. Genuine love has to be constant, and it has to be long-lasting. In fact, genuine love is something that is undying. A person who is born again, as we read earlier on, is born with seed that is incorruptible. He is born again with the word of God, which is not perishable. The word of God is not perishable. The Lord Jesus Christ says, till heaven and earth pass away, my word shall not pass away. The word of God written in our hearts is there forever. It abides forever. And so we read in verse 23, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, you see, but of incorruptible. The word of God is not perishable, but by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. God's planted in our hearts when obey will produce love. That is what? Undying, my dear friends, not perishable love, undying love. As God's word is incorruptible, the love planted in us is something that is everlasting. Did you realize that? Everlasting, the love in us. Faith in us will someday fail. You know that? Yes, today we have faith in things that will come in the future. But when those things materialize, we don't need faith anymore. So faith fails. Faith fades away. What about hope? Hope one day will also fade away. Today we hope to have certain things in the future. We hope to have a perfect body like that of the Lord Jesus Christ. One day that will materialize. And when that materializes, my dear friends, we don't need hope anymore. But love is different. Love in us is undying. It's there forever. As the seed, the word of God, is incorruptible, so the love in us is undying. It is forever. So the love of us, my dear friends, has got no place for inconsistency. We must show consistent love. And that love, my dear friends, must be consistently growing until the day we see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. Now the next question we need to ask is, why must we love? Why must we love? Look at the second part of the verse 22. Peter says, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. See that ye love. Now we are to love heartily and we are to love with fervor. It is not a cold feeling that comes across to people when that love is shown. That love that we show must be warm. It must be shown with a pure heart. It must be shown with fervor. The challenge is for us to show that love. It might involve inconvenience. It might involve sacrifice. Yes, because someone, your fellow member in the church one night might call you and say, I need help. Can you please help me? It is going to be, that call is going to inconvenience you. It requires sacrifice on your part. And what would you do, my dear friends? Now, if you truly love, you will be prepared to experience that inconvenience. You will be prepared to sacrifice. But do we have a choice to do otherwise? In other words, do we have a choice not to love? Peter says it clearly. No, you don't have a choice. He says it. It is a command. See that you love one another. You see that? See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. And the Lord himself has given us this commandment. He says in John chapter 13, verse 34. He says what? A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. That ye love one another as I have loved you. That ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. So the Lord's commandment is clear. We are to love one another. How could people know that we are true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, except that we love one another? So no choice, friends. You cannot say, I don't want to love. No, we can't. Because this is a commandment given to us by the Lord. See that you love one another. A new commandment I give unto you. There was this new pastor who wanted to gauge the spiritual condition of his church members. Remember, he was a new pastor. He had not seen the congregation members. Yes, so, and the congregation members had not seen him. And so what he did was he disguised himself so that he looked like a dirty tramp. Yes, and he went knocking at the doors of members of his church, and he was very, very disappointed by the spiritual condition of his church members. And he was particularly disappointed when he came to the home of this lady. On opening the door, the lady nearly drove him away. He said to this lady, "Ma'am, I'm looking for a church to worship in. Can I come to your church? Now this lady, upon opening the door and seeing this man who looked like a dirty tramp, he said, this guy is so dirty, you know. He's not fit to come to our church. Then she said this, let me see if you know the very basics of the Word of God. How many commandments are there? He asked this person who looked like a tramp. The disguised pastor then pretended to stammer. He said, oh, I see. There are 11 commandments. Then the lady said, you see, you don't know your word, the word of God. There are 10 commandments. Upon saying that, she shut the door. Then came Sunday. Yes, and what should the pastor be preaching on? The new pastor, what should he be preaching on? Of course, he preached on the topic of love. And he said, you see, the Lord added another commandment to his 10 commandments. He said, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, even as I've loved you. Now, how do you think that woman would have felt that day on seeing that pastor on stage and he's preaching this topic? A new commandment I give unto you. My dear friends, how would you feel? Yes, if you were in the shoes of this woman. My dear friends, our love must be genuine. Yes, it must be genuine. But whom are we to love? Yes, we are commanded to love. We must love. Then, but whom are we to love? The word of God in Galatians chapter 6, verse 10 says, all right, I think it's good for us to look at this verse. Galatians 6, 10. Galatians 6, 10. Galatians 6:10. I read for you. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So we are commanded to love whom? All men. And the greatest love, my dear friends, that we can show to all men is to save their souls. That is the greatest love that we can show to them. The greatest love we can show to them is, of course, to give them the gospel. And if they receive that gospel, the gospel of love, my dear friends, that gospel of love which will save them from sins and from hell. So, my dear friends, by giving them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are really showing him love of the greatest kind. And love indeed covers a multitude of sin. The love that we show to people by giving them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, if it is received, will save people from a host of problems that would be causing them, yes, if they continue to sin as they used to sin before. Yes, but if they receive the gospel of love, and when they repent, then they will be saved from all the multitudes of problems related to those sins that they are guilty of. Now, friends, whom should we love? We should love all men. Particularly, we must love those who are members of the household of faith. Yes, and Peter here was actually echoing the word of the Lord. He says, see that we love one another. My dear friends, we must love one another, love particularly members of the household of faith. Now, Peter gives us another reason as to why we must love one another. Now, we must love one another because our life is short. Yes. So little time to love, and therefore we must love. Just look at how short life is. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 24 and 25. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Yes, our life is so short. It is like the wild grass and the wild flowers in the field. They appear for a little time. They look so beautiful, but only for a short time, and then they disappear. Yes, seeing that life is short, my dear friends, we must not allow petty quarrels to come between us, those of us who are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Life is too short. for us to continue to hate. Whatever we do must be very meaningful. Whatever we do must count for eternity, and it counts for eternity if we do those things for the glory of God. It counts for eternity if we do those things because we love the Lord Jesus Christ. And we show that love, the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, by loving others, by loving fellow members in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what greater love can we show our fellow men, as we said earlier on, than to give them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? And what greater love can we show to our fellow members but to encourage one another with the word of God? Provoke one another unto love and unto good works by the word of God. My dear friends, that is the greatest love that we can show to one another. So, we are able to love. Now, why are we able to love? Now, we are able to love because our souls have been purified. Purified by what? Purified by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Purified by the word of God. When we obey God's word. And purified by the working of God's mighty Holy Spirit. And His Holy Spirit indwelling us produces the fruit of the Spirit in us. So, my dear friends, there is absolutely no reason as to why we are not able to love. We must be able to love. And then we are new creatures in Christ. Hatred has no place in us because all sins must be washed away by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. If, in fact, we are new creatures in Him, all sins must be washed away by Him. And the love that He gives to us, my dear friends, is love that is unfeigned, love that is genuine. And this love is practical. This love is undying. And this love is shown not to please men, but this love is shown to please the one true living God. Yes, that's the kind of love that we must be showing. And we are to show this love. Why? Because the Lord has commanded us to love. We have no choice, friends. It is a command given by the Lord. We are to love. And then we are to love because our life on this earth is so short. Too short, yes. So short, my dear friends. So little time to love. Therefore, we must show love. And finally, listen to what God's word says in closing. All right, these two verses were read to us earlier on by our brother Benson. 1 John chapter 4, verses 20 and 21. Let me read to all of us here in closing. 1 John 4, 20 and 21. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. My dear friends, if we say that we love God whom we have not seen, and that we do not love our brother whom we can see, my dear friends, you know what the Word of God says we are? Liars. In other words, not true believers. So if we say that we really love God, we must show that love for God by our love for our fellow believers and for others. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the love that you have planted in us. And Father, we thank you that you have sent the Holy Spirit in us to enable us to love. And there is absolutely no reason why we are not able to love. We must be able to love because, Lord, we know that we have been purified by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, by your word and by obedience to your word, and that we have been purified by the sanctifying power of God's mighty Holy Spirit. And Lord, we thank you that this love that you have planted in us is unfeigned love, genuine love. And therefore, O Lord God, if we profess that we are showing love, our love, O Lord, we pray, must be unfeigned. And help us, O Lord, to show this form of love to others, love that is unfeigned. And then, O Lord God, we pray that we may all realize that we have absolutely no choice but to love because you have given us this command to love. We have been commanded to love. Lord, we pray that we may obey your commandment to love as you would want us to love. And help us always to realize that if we profess that we love God whom we have not seen, And then do not love our fellow believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are indeed liars in your sight. We are just being very hypocritical. Lord, we pray that you will help us to realize this truth, enable us to love in the way that you want us to love. In Jesus' blessed name we pray and give thanks. Amen.